This is Diane Horn, your host on the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM by mobile app and on the web at kexp.org. My guest this morning is Liz Hitchcock, Acting Director of Safer Chemicals Healthy Families, a national effort to protect families from toxic chemicals. Liz Hitchcock is here to tell us about implementation of the Lautenberg Chemical Safety for the 21st Century Act, also known as TSCAF reform, which was signed into law in 2016 and intended to help better protect the public from toxic chemicals. Welcome, Liz.
Thanks for having me.
Would you like to begin by saying a few words about Safer Chemicals Healthy Families?
Safer Chemicals Healthy Families was founded in 2009 to work on reform of the nation's toxic chemical policy, a law called the Toxic Substances Control Act, which was one of the protections for the environment from the 70s, but it was the one that never really had a heyday, never really got off the ground. And so our organization worked to build a coalition of more than 400 organizations working together to push for reforms of that law that protected public health to the greatest extent possible.
Would you say more about why we needed a reform of the Toxic Substances Control Act?
The Toxic Substances Control Act was kind of notorious for how broken it was. The kind of poster child for the failures of the law was that the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, was unable to even ban asbestos. They took years developing a rule and then were years in the courts with the industry fighting the rule, and finally the rules were thrown out, and we discovered that we couldn't even regulate asbestos under TSCA, and that reputation then followed it to say we can't really regulate any chemicals. And so chemical regulation and chemical protections stalled out under TSCA, and that's why groups got together and worked with Congress to reform the law and to make sure that the law did the greatest effort to protect public health, to recognize that there are people who live closer to facilities or closer to areas where toxic chemicals have been dumped who are more vulnerable, that mothers and their children are more vulnerable. So the law is intended to provide greater protections from toxic chemicals.
Would you say more about the ways in which the Lautenberg Act is different from the original Toxic Substances Control Act from 1976? What are the key improvements?
Well, one of the key improvements was that it allowed the federal government to actually be a part of the solution, that EPA could get in on the action that the states were moving forward on in advancing public health and environmental protections. The law required the consideration of vulnerable populations and exposures to toxic chemicals, set deadlines and required action on the part of the EPA, so you couldn't string something along. There are actual deadlines in the law. It required a more rigorous review of new chemicals coming onto the market. So all of those are improvements to the positive that we were happy with. Overall, the law was not as much protection as we had sought, because obviously being a public interest organization, we were working to get the greatest amount of protection for the public. We got some very important protections into the law.
Would you say more about the actual processes that were put in place to better protect the public from toxic chemicals? How does the government go about evaluating them now?
For example, when a new chemical is proposed, a company submits what's called a pre-manufacture notice to the EPA, which should outline the potential conditions of use for that chemical, any of the information that they have about the result of exposures for human beings and environmental releases, to basically develop a picture of that chemical and what the impact is going to be on the environment and on our health. EPA has 90 days to either approve the chemical or ask more questions about the chemical, ask for more testing information, ask for more information about exposures, or order testing about the chemical and say, we don't know enough, and so we need to go back and find out more about this. So that was one of the big improvements in the law, that EPA could actually go back to the companies and say, hold on, let's put the brakes on this and let's get more information so that we know how the chemical is going to be used and what dangers would be associated with the chemicals.
What steps have been taken so far in the implementation of the Lautenberg Act?
Well, the new chemicals part was a provision of the law that took effect the day that the law was signed. So that changed the way that EPA had been approaching new chemicals. And it meant that where companies had gotten used to a quick review of their chemicals and a relatively quick trip to market with their chemicals, instead, there were these questions being asked, and some chemicals were delayed. That led to the chemical industry complaining about a backlog of chemicals. So there's been some changes to the way that the program is running, and these are changes that we don't agree with, that we think are actually not in the letter and spirit of the law, and that EPA should continue to conduct the new chemicals program the way that they were initially. The other things about implementation of the law required EPA to get started on evaluating the tens of thousands of chemicals that were already in the marketplace and have been in the marketplace for years. And the law required that EPA start from a list of chemicals that EPA was already studying, that are chemicals that have a profile, have a track record, where some testing has been done by EPA itself or by independent laboratories or academics, where they've looked at chemicals and identified places where there could be problems. That list of chemicals is known as the work plan chemicals, the EPA chemicals work plan. EPA chose 10 chemicals of the more than 90 chemicals from that list as the first chemicals that they were going to do a rigorous examination of. And EPA basically published an explanation of how they were going to look at those chemicals. The law requires that EPA look at all the conditions of use for a chemical. So they should be looking at how it's produced and what the exposures look like in the factory where the chemical is produced, all the way to the disposal of the chemical. When you're done with it, what happens to it? And look at all the ways that the public might be exposed and any harm that would result from those exposures. And the EPA identified 10 chemicals, and they began that evaluation of the chemicals. So that will happen, and that will continue. Now, the EPA has chosen to look only at a limited universe of exposures to these chemicals and a limited set of uses to these chemicals, which we are very concerned about, because the disposal of asbestos in a landfill when you demolish a building that contains asbestos is going to have an impact on the community near those landfills. It's going to have an impact on the workers who are part of the demolition. It can have an impact on the firefighters who go into an old building that contains asbestos. So we're concerned that EPA is not looking at what are called legacy exposures to a chemical like asbestos, because those are some of the biggest sources of harm that are caused by that chemical. The same is true of discharges of the chemical to the air or the water. It is abundantly obvious that harm can come from chemicals in the water, that harm can come from chemicals in the air. we are concerned and troubled that EPA would not look at those sources of exposure.
I'm Diane Horn, and my guest is Liz Hitchcock, Acting Director of Safer Chemicals Healthy Families. Our topic is implementation of the Lautenberg Chemical Safety Act, which was signed into law in 2016, and is intended to help better protect the public from toxic chemicals. And you are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on listener-powered KEXP 90.3 FM by mobile app and on the web at kexp.org. Would you give us a sense of the 10 chemicals in terms of the products they are found in and also what the health effects are likely to be? I know that 10 is a lot to talk about, but if you could just give a few examples.
The top chemical was asbestos, and asbestos was important for EPA to study first because of the legacy, because of the kind of understanding of old TSCA as being a failed law because they couldn't regulate a chemical as dangerous as asbestos. Asbestos has been associated with cancers, with illnesses like mesothelioma. 15,000 people die every year from asbestos-related diseases. So asbestos was one of the first of the chemicals and one of the most important of the chemicals on the whole inventory to be looking at. Another chemical that was on that list of the first 10 was methylene chloride. Methylene chloride has a number of industrial uses, but one of the things we're concerned about is its use in paint strippers. The chemical itself is toxic to the brain and liver, can harm the reproductive system, and inhalation of paint strippers containing methylene chloride has been linked to at least 60 deaths since the 1980s, including 4 deaths since the law was passed. And the reason that we are concerned about methylene chloride and campaigning around methylene chloride is that in the beginning of 2017, EPA made a proposal to exercise its authority under reformed TSCA to ban uses of methylene chloride in paint strippers and coating removal, things used to refinish furniture, refinish your floors, what have you. When EPA made its proposal, they said ban methylene chloride's use in paint and coating removers for industrial and consumer use. And it was roundly popular. EPA received tens of thousands of comments in favor of the rule, but they also received comments from the industry saying there's no need to ban this chemical and this particular use of this chemical. So EPA responded to that pressure by putting that action on its long-term action list. We are continuing to press EPA to finalize its rule. They actually announced in May, after the EPA administrator met with families of two of the men who have died since the beginning of 2017 using paint strippers containing methylene chloride, the EPA administrator announced that they would finalize the rule shortly, and we're still waiting. We've urged them to finalize a strong rule that protects as many people as possible to the greatest extent possible, and we're continuing to work to make that happen. We have a markets campaign called Mind the Store that has urged home improvement retailers like Lowe's and Home Depot to get ahead of EPA and not wait for the regulation to be finalized, but take action now. And Lowe's and Home Depot and Sherwin-Williams have all announced in the last month or so that they would stop selling paint strippers that contained methylene chloride by the end of this year. So the EPA should follow suit and finalize its ban as well. So methylene chloride and asbestos are two of the chemicals that are part of that first 10. Another chemical is called N-methyl pyrrolidone, which is also used in paint strippers, but has a number of other industrial uses. EPA had also made a proposal to ban that chemical for use in paint strippers. Under the new law, they also have backburnered that proposal. We're hoping that they will also ban that chemical because it is another set of health problems. It's a developmental and reproductive toxicant, so we believe that it would be an inappropriate substitute for methylene chloride in paint strippers and is something that EPA could and should take action on along with methylene chloride.
You are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM by mobile app and on the web at kexp.org. I'm Diane Horn, and my guest is Liz Hitchcock, Acting Director of Safer Chemicals Healthy Families. Our topic is implementation of the Lautenberg Chemical Safety Act, which was signed into law in 2016 and is intended to help better protect the public from toxic chemicals. What is the likely timeline for evaluation of the chosen chemicals? You've mentioned methylene chloride and some others, but just looking at the group as a whole, how far along is the EPA in doing the evaluation?
EPA is required over the course of the next 2 years to complete its evaluation of the first 10 chemicals. They're also required to name another set of chemicals, 20 more chemicals, to begin evaluation. There are tens of thousands of chemicals that are out in commerce, so this is a big mountain to climb, and the law set deadlines so that EPA would finish the evaluation and move to any necessary management of the chemicals on a regular basis.
Would you say more about the steps being taken by advocacy groups such as your own to help ensure that the Lautenberg law is carried out?
Safer Chemicals Healthy Families has submitted comments on all of the chemicals that EPA is evaluating. When EPA issued rules to ban uses of chemicals like methylene chloride, and we, Safer Chemicals Healthy Families, provided comments that were detailed and scientific and legal comments to urge adoption of the rule. We also worked with the public to submit public comments in support of the rule. We've testified at public hearings in support. We've met with personnel at EPA to urge strong enactment of the rule. And we have filed a petition in the courts to challenge the way that EPA has announced that they are going to implement the law.
In your view, how do consumer campaigns compare to government regulations and policy for effectiveness in addressing toxic chemicals?
Consumer campaigns can be a very effective driver for policy. EPA should certainly finish the job of banning the use of methylene chloride in paint strippers. But it is also very significant that major companies like Home Depot, Lowe's, and Sherwin-Williams responded to the voices of their customers who came to them and demanded safer products in their stores. Customers went to the store, they held press conferences, they called the customer service lines, they sent letters to the company's CEO and urged them to take this dangerous and deadly chemical off their shelves, and those companies agreed to do that. We think that that should have a positive influence on the EPA, that EPA should listen to what's happening in the marketplace and listen to that demand for safer products and do its job in protecting the public by imposing a permanent restriction on the use of methylene chloride and NMP in paint strippers across the board.
Well, what's the message you'd like to leave our listeners with?
We have a new law on the books, and it is an important law for the public to keep up their guard and stay involved. We need to really watchdog EPA to get as much public health protection out of the reformed chemical policy as possible.
Well, thanks so much for being here, Liz.
You're welcome.
You were just listening to Liz Hitchcock, Acting Director of Safer Chemicals Healthy Families, speak about implementation of the Lautenberg Chemical Safety Act, which was signed into law in 2016 and intended to help better protect the public from toxic chemicals. For more information, check on the web at saferchemicals.org. Sustainability segment interviews are available as podcasts, along with KEXP's music podcast. Go to the podcast section of KEXP's website at kexp.org. I'm Diane Horn. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in to the sustainability segment again next week on listener-powered 90.3 FM, by mobile app, and at kexp.org.